To mark the 2009 Synod of Bishops for Africa that met in Rome in October, we're bringing you an audio interview from the archives. In 2007, we spoke to Archbishop Ignatius Kaigama of Jos in northern Nigeria. Here, Archbishop Kaigama talks about the church in Nigeria, its voice in the public square, interreligious dialogue, and much more. Archbishop Ignatius Kaigama.
Just in February, we celebrated the centenary of the Catholic faith in northern Nigeria. And providentially, it was in our archdiocese that the first missionaries arrived. That was in 1907. So since that time, a lot has happened. The clergy is 99.9% indigenous. There's a flourishing laity. And the church is quite vibrant. We have the youth on our side. They are very active and interested in the church. The women organizations are all playing their own parts, and the laity in general. I want to say it's a happy situation.
Now, we're a fairly secular society here in England, but what's it like over in Jos? Does the church get a chance to have its voice heard?
Certainly, there is a very good collaboration between the church and the state. And I think they understand and respect what the church has to offer. When the secular authority runs into trouble, sometimes you have political violence, ethnic conflicts and things like that, you would find out that they reach out to the church urgently, asking us to intervene through our prayers and actually through our various activities, various social actions that we embark upon. Right now in Plateau State, after a series of ethno-religious crises, I was appointed by the state government to head the Interreligious Council for Peace and Harmony. Even when there was an ethnic conflict in the southern part of Plateau State, again, they reached out to me to become the chairman of the Peace Committee. That is to tell you the level of collaboration that there is between the church and the state.
Well, I was going to ask you about interreligious cooperation. Obviously, from afar here, when we look at Nigeria, particularly in the north, we do see flashpoints between Muslims and Christians and difficulties. And I read about the Jos crisis in 2001. How is the state of interreligious dialogue, particularly with Islam?
Well, the crisis has generated renewed enthusiasm to work together and to dialogue. In every bad thing, there is some good that comes from it. After the crisis, we were able to sit down together with Muslim leaders, Christian leaders, to discuss the situation. And everybody agreed it was unfortunate because religion does not ask anybody to embark on violence. And therefore, there was need to map, to create the roadmap for peace. And this we are doing. The Muslims are quite ready to talk, and we are also very ready. And at the level of the leadership, we are in great contact, hoping that whatever friendship we establish and whatever thing we discuss at that level will flow down to the youth and to the grassroots. I want to say the level of Christian-Muslim collaboration, in Jos in particular, is very commendable. And we are hoping that that will extend and expand to other parts of northern Nigeria and Nigeria as a whole. Generally, the crises seem to emanate from northern Nigeria. I don't understand why that is so, but it happens. But we are trying to be on top of the situation.
Now, Nigeria, as an African country with some 150 million people living there, clearly very influential in the continent as a whole. How influential is the church within that?
The church is certainly very influential. Even during the military era, when the soldiers would not allow you to talk, they would not allow free association and things like that, the church was very vocal. The church was regarded as the voice of the voiceless because the church spoke out without fear or favor. And the Catholic Bishops' Conference have been in the forefront of social awareness. Even during the democratic era, the church in her communiques, the Bishops' Conference would proffer solutions to various issues such as corruption, poor educational system, medical care, and things like that. We are always speaking out, and that is why the ordinary man on the street would wait with keen interest to hear what the bishops' conference would say on particular topics each time we go in for a meeting. For instance, next month, all being well, we shall be meeting in Ado Ekiti to have our bishops' conference. Let me tell you, the people will be eagerly waiting. What shall we come up with? We have a new government. What are we going to tell the new government? What will be our ideas for better governance and better socio-economic situation of the country?
Is there any fear involved in stepping forward? I read about the Anglican Bishop of Jos and his recent troubles in being kidnapped and sort of assaulted in his home. Do you fear taking a strong church stance in Jos?
Not really. It all depends on, I believe, what one is doing. If my problem is just to talk on issues and address issues, poor education, poor medical care, insecurity and things like that, if you you limit yourself to the level of issues, being, you know, critical but with charity, I don't think people would reject that. But if I become political, perhaps associating with one political party or the other or whatever, I think that is where the problem could come from. So if we just limit ourselves to our prophetic mission by condemning evil and, you know, creating social awareness, even if we are attacked, it's for a just cause. I don't think, and I have never experienced it since my tenure as the Archbishop, just somebody disagreeing violently with what I have had to say. I told you just now that the government asked me to mediate when there is a crisis, whether between Muslims or Christians, or whether it is with ethnic groups and things like that. That tells you we are working and they appreciate what we have to offer.
Looking at a crucial issue like poverty, expanding it more to the continent of Africa, we look at the Group of Eight Nations and their pledges. Our cardinal here in England and Wales, the cardinal in Scotland, have both reminded politicians of the promises that have been made. Is it important that in the West those promises are kept?
In terms of giving out aid or what? Yeah. Well, we keep saying there is definitely an imbalance in the world. While others have everything, the basic things of life, others have never even had the opportunity to enjoy electricity that is stable, water that is flowing, roads that are there, educational system that is continuous, not breaking because of strikes due to non-payment of teachers and lack of infrastructural educational facilities. There is a great gap, and it is our desire that this gap should be bridged. And if it will be bridged, it needs some political will and some genuine charity, because you discover in the West, God has blessed them in many ways. But somehow for us, we see that they tend to use these resources not really for the upliftment of humanity. Why do I say this? The famous war in Iraq, for instance, if they tell you how much that has cost America, how much it has cost your government here in Britain, it's a bit of a concern. That money could actually be channeled towards improving the socio-economic conditions of people in those poorer countries. And people embark on space programs, yes, they are very, very useful. But then remember, there are people here who have not had breakfast, who have not had lunch, who have not had supper. Yet you are exploring space using billions or millions and millions of pounds or dollars, you know. So we are concern about the situation of balance. And that is what I think Pope Paul VI tried to address in Populorum Progressio, 1967, that there is injustice in the world. There is great inequality, and Christians must attempt to bridge, not only Christians, but national leaders and nations must attempt to see how we can give dignity to the lives of people who go without food, shelter, and many other things.
What role does the church play?
the Catholic Church in Nigeria with regard to standing up against corruption, for instance?
Our communiques issued at our meetings are consistently attacking such vices, bad governance, corruption, and things like that. And we have never relented. I remember we were so outspoken that at a time, some minister who was sent by the president to come and give his goodwill message had to beg us to soften a little bit. This is because we come out emphatically to tell the government this is wrong. We are people of the grassroots. We know where it pinches because the people identify more with the church. The church renders educational services, medical services, other social services, and the people trust us more. They have more confidence in the church. And they also believe we can articulate their needs to the government, and this we continue to do. Sometimes the government feels we are too forward and too harsh in criticisms, but it's for the sake of the people.
And finally, Archbishop Ignatius, what's the future like for Catholicism in Nigeria? Are you uplifted about the future?
Certainly, certainly. You can see the geometric progress that has been witnessed. Just a few weeks ago, my Archdiocese of Jos was divided and a new diocese was born from Jos Archdiocese. I'm referring to the new Diocese of Shendam. Before that, Bauchi Diocese was created out of Jos. Before that, Kafanchan Diocese and Lafia Diocese were all created from Jos. So you can see the rapid growth that we are witnessing. If that can happen within a short span of time, in 20, 50 years, I think it will be paradise. So I am so happy with the level of progress. Our laity, the clergy, the religious are with us. We are working as a family of God. Our drawbacks would be the lack of means. Like I say, you go out, you see the educational needs of the people, you see there are disasters here and there, and you can do nothing. You are helpless just because you don't have the means. The people have the faith, the enthusiasm, but they lack the material means. And that is why we say, as brothers keepers, as sisters keepers, those in the West who are blessed, don't spend the money, don't waste the money. And In fact, there was a time I came here, that was in March, to preach on live simply. Live simply means live in such a way that you don't waste the resources so that you can save enough to help others who are in need. This is why I think we are children of God, to help one another. In Africa, we say, let the right hand wash the left hand and the left hand wash the right hand. Let us help one another. That is our concern.
Archbishop Ignatius Kaigama of Jos there, talking about the Catholic Church in Nigeria. For more from the Church in England and Wales, visit www.catholicchurch.org.uk.